Thank you, Carl. Thank you all for being here. Today I'm going to talk about one important use of biochar, that's in stormwater. And that's the work I did in Stanford when I was a postdoc there. So I'd like to thank my co-advisor, Ali Bem. She was my postdoctoral advisor. And then Cara Nelson, she was our collaborator. And we got biochar from Kerry and Will Bax. And this project was supported by NSF through a research center called Reinventing the Nation's Urban Water Infrastructure. That's where I worked before. So before I talk about biochar use in bacteria, why it does matter? So if you see the 21st century's challenges, one of the biggest challenges is water. We do not have enough water, particularly to meet the demand. And you see, this is the pictures in India, in northeast India, where this entire populations are in a city with more than 50,000 people depends on this well for their drinking water. And not only this is not the problem only in developing country. This is also a problem in many other parts, including U.S. and all the developed countries. If you see the population increase by now we are around 7 billion, and it will be 9 billion by 250. And most of the people are going to stay in urban areas. And this is another picture in California. When I was driving from California to Pennsylvania, I saw these pictures. And as you see, this highlights that we need water for almost everything. We need water for food, we need water for energy, and we need water for almost everything that we do. The problem is we have enough water in some locations, but we cannot use those water because these are too far away from the location where it is needed the most. And most of the people are living in big cities, and that's where we need a lot of water. And nearly 50% of the world population now live in big cities, and that's going to increase to 70% by 2050. And that's nearly 3.2 billion people. So how are we going to get the water? And one other issue is that urbanization also diminishes the amount of water we have, the usable water. If you see, this is before urbanization, we have rainwater that come in, and most of them infiltrate into ground, and some of them goes as a runoff and supply to surface waters. But once we build the structures, parking structure, buildings, everything, that diminishes the amount of water that can recharge to groundwater. And most of them goes as a runoff, and that creates flooding, erosion, contaminations, groundwater depletion. So not only we are diminishing the amount of water, we also need a lot more water. And these are the traditional system how we deal with this stormwater. So the primary goal of this kind of treatment is to get rid of stormwater as soon as possible so that it doesn't create any flooding. As you see this, you are probably familiar with this structure. This is near the sidewalk, parking lots, and this all the stormwater can infiltrate through this area. But there is a big issue. These treatment systems do not remove any many contaminants. And one of the key contaminants is bacteria. And you see in these pictures, this is the BMP database. That shows how much the quantity of bacteria coming in and coming out and going out in some of the systems. And you see most of the cases, the removal is not more than 20 to 30%. And many cases, actually, there is no removal. In fact, there is more bacteria in the effluent than the influent. That means these stormwater treatment systems act as a source of bacteria. So we did this research to show that why it is the case. This is the picture that shows that how much amount of bacteria that can be detached from this geomedia when there is a rainfall. So these contaminated soils, once the rainwater comes in, you see this, if it's a quartz sand, nearly 10 to 20% of attached bacteria can detach. And if you have iron oxide coated sand, which has been used in drinking water to clean bacteria, that can be much higher. And that's because the stormwater is infiltrated through this ground because by this intermittent rainfall. When you have this wetting and drying event, these bacteria can detach and they shows up in the effluents. So we thought, okay, we'll use some different kind of geomedia, not iron oxide coated sand. That time there was two publications by Dr. Bolster. He published these two articles where they we knew that a biochar can be used to remove bacteria. But that time only two publications, and that's in steady state conditions. And as you see that stormwater treatment system is a lot more complex. We have intermittent flow, we have dissolved organic carbon, high concentration of dissolved organic carbon. We have weathering, we have variable loading. So it is not clear if stormwater can be treated using biochar, and that's the focus of this project. So we use mostly wood-based biochar because that's what is known to remove a lot of bacteria. And we use three different types of biochar. One is a commercial biochar, a Sonoma biochar, and this is a low temperature, high temperature biochar that we that Kerry provided us. And then we use synthetic stormwater. You might ask me why we should not use a real stormwater. And if you are from California, you know that, you know, it doesn't rain a lot, you know. So if I have to use real stormwater, I have to wait for two more years or three more years. So my postdoc is over. So this is a synthetic stormwater that we prepared with all the different salt concentration. We have 10 to 20 milligram per carbon natural organic matter. And we use E. coli, E. coli K12, non-pathogenic bacteria. And we use a spread plate techniques to quantify the bacteria. And this is the experimental setup. This doesn't look like a typical biofilter, but the objective here is to understand the removal capacity of biochar. So we have sand, we have biochar column, and then we inject bacteria with strong water through this below, and then we collect through this fraction collectors. And then we did this experiment two different ways. First step is to contaminate this biochar. So we inject 3-pore volume of E. coli, and then we flush with another 3-pore volume of sterile storm water. That way we flush all the bacteria that is in the pore water. And anything remaining, those are on the biochar. And then we flush with another 2-pore volume of storm water without any bacteria. But this time we let it drain by gravity. That way we simulate this wetting and drying events. So that wetting and drying, during that event, we have 30 to 21 hours drying cycles. And then we quantify how much bacteria can be remobilized during this intermittent rainfall. So this is the first results. As you see, this is a sand biochar, three different biochar, and this is log removal. Once means 90% removal, two means 99% removals. And you see in the sand, we have less than 30% of removal. And once we have a biochar, that removal is much more higher, more than around 90%. And not only that, if we have a lot of organic matter, the removal capacity of biochar decreases. But still it remains around 90%, which is very encouraging because many other geomedia that are now used do not effectively remove bacteria in presence of natural organic matter. So this was a very encouraging news for us. And when you see the removal or detachment of bacteria from this contaminated biochar, we see that in sand, we have around 20% bacteria leach out. But if you use biochar, that's almost negligible if you do not have any natural organic matter. But if you do have some organic matter, those concentration increases. But that's still allowable. That's very low compared to traditional treatment system. So we know that biochar not only strongly attaches the bacteria, also it prevents detachment of bacteria because of multiple reasons. We think this is because it has a very strong affinity to biochar, and second, also how the hydrodynamic inside biochar augmented geomedia. Here we see how much water is drained from sand when you do this intermittent rainfall or gravitational drainage. When in 30 minutes, we can drain more than 50% of the pore volume if we let it drain by gravity. But if you have biochar, that percentage is very low. That means we do not have this wetting drying effect. That's one of the major reasons also why bacteria are not being leached out from biochar. So this is done in 30-minute drying cycle. But if you increase to longer drying cycle, that effect is more prominent and also contrasting between sand and biochar. If you see amount of the fraction of bacteria, those are detached from biochar or sand, and this is sand and biochar. If you see, if we have 30-minute waiting drying cycle, we leach out around 20% of the attached bacteria. But if we increase that to 21 hours, much more bacteria released from sand. And that's because, possibly because of growth. The reason I say growth, because we continue that experiment and we did 21 hours, every 21 hours, at some point it goes more than 100%. That means everything that we account for, all the bacteria, that those are attached, those leached and much more leached. And that's because probably bacteria are growing in, on, by, on sand, and those are also released. In other case, in biochar, that amount decreases. That means if we wait longer or longer drying cycle, the bacteria, either they are dying or they are not being released. And that's possibly because of inactivation, but we did not really look at the viability. Other studies shows that actually, in fact, biochar can inactivate a bacteria. And then also we look at how, if the bioinfiltration system is remained sustainable at high loading. This is the when the concentration vary from 100 to 1/10 of a billion bacteria per ml. That's this incredible high concentration. Just for academic standpoint, the the bacteria concentration in stormwater will never exceed more than 1 million, 10 to the 4. But just to show that, even the concentration increases, the biochar can remove sufficient amount of bacteria. That's more than 90%. And the same case, if you have a high intensity rainfall, we have higher higher flow rate, and the bacteria concentrations or the removals remain high. Here, if you see the 5-minute residence time, the removal is still above 90%. What it means is biochar is a very effective tool to remove bacteria even at the harsh conditions in the stormwater infiltration system. And then we did study to see how the weather biochar can remove bacteria. All those results I saw before, those are fresh biochar. And in this case, this is fresh biochar and how much it removes at different temperature. But then also we take the same biochar, let it dry wet, subject it to dry wet cycles at different temperature. Let it weather for a month and expose the same amount of stormwater. So in the control, we have same 24 volume of stormwater injected in 10 hours without any dry wet cycle. And in weather conditions, we subject the same biochar to intermittent rainfall over 1 month. And you see, if between control and weather conditions, the weather biochar remove a lot more bacteria. And the reason is, when we have control study, we are exposing this biochar with natural organic matter, and they stick to around biochar surfaces. But if you wait long enough, those surface natural organic matter can diffuse inside this micropore or nanopores. That way we have more surface site available for bacterial removal. So which is great, because this is how it's supposed to be in nature. That means this biochar is going to be very effective in a bioinfiltration system. So just to summarize what we learned so far. We know that biochar can increase the attachment of bacteria. It can decrease the detachment of bacteria. Also, it can inactivate the bacteria. In some cases, biochar also known to increase the native microorganism that can also kill the E. coli or the pathogenic bacteria because of competition with the nutrients or other factors. And so in summary, we can say that biochar means more attachment, less detachment, and more die-off. Not only that, it controls the hydrodynamics of the water inside the bioinfiltration system, which are very useful to decrease the detachment of bacteria. So what it means, you know? All we know that once we apply the biochar in this traditional bioinfiltration system, we can decrease the amount of bacteria they can leach to groundwater. We have a lot more water for reuse, for non-potable reuse. And we can also protect the water resources. So all the surface water contamination because of bacteria can be prevented if we use biochar as a geomedia. And other research shows that biochar is an effective tool for carbon sequestration. So we don't need to wheel inject all this carbon underground. We can use convert the biomass to biochar, which can be used in a not only to clean water but also to keep the lock the carbon on the ground. And also another way is we have less bio waste. That means all this bio waste can be converted to biochar, and that can be used for all these applications. And that will be very effective for sustainable city. And this is my research interest that I work on right now. So if you can, this is just to show that how biochar can be used in multiple application to create a city which has lot which is more sustainable. Here you have this green infrastructure. We can use biochar in this rainwater harvesting tank. That way it can clean a lot of contaminants. And also we can use biochar in the rainfalls or the rain garden, where we can increase the groundwater replenishment. And then also we can convert this bio waste to biochar and reuse all the system. And this is how we can build a city with more sustainability. So when next time we hear sustainable city, think biochar. That's the message if you want to take away from these presentations. So I'd like to thank you for your attention. If you think of half-life in terms of when biochar is not going to be there, all the carbon will be out, that's at least 100 years.
I'm speaking of the bacteria. How long before it can't keep retaining bacteria?
We do not know that yet, but we do long-term studies where we show that even after 10 years, this will be still viable because the surface will regenerate because of the nitty microorganisms eat away those organics and everything. So it should be pretty long. If not, it should not be less than 10 years at least.
Just remind me of your setup. So you had sand columns and you had biochar columns, or was it biochar and sand?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a 5% biochar. So it's a 5% by weight. It's not completely biochar. It's just a little amount of biochar added to the sand. Good question. Thank you.
How did you come up with 5% biochar? Is it more better or is it less better?
So I would say 5% is the high end, 5% by weight. And that's because we follow the agriculture applications. They use 2% by weight, and 5% is for treatment, where if we use too high concentration, there are unintended consequences.
Like what?
We'll see in the later presentation. Many times it can also lose a lot of nutrients. For instance, if it is a different source from manure, then the biochar has a lot of phosphate, nitrates, So it depends on the types of biochar. Yes, please.
Why do you suppose the cells are sticking to the biochar so much better than the sand? Is it just a surface area thing or what?
Surface area is part of the region, but most importantly, the hydrophobic interactions. So bacteria surface are mostly hydrophobic. So biochar provide these carbon surfaces that increase the attachment. If you do the interaction forces, then we see that, which their study shows that the interaction forces between biochar and bacteria is a lot more higher compared to sand. And that's probably because of hydrophobic or a lot of other interactions.
Okay.